Memorial Day weekend. To many minds, to some, that means I've graduated from high school. To others, it means, like I said, the beginning of summer. But what a wonderful thing for our nation to set aside a day for the sole purpose of remembering those who have given their lives in service to our country. It began after the Civil War, Decoration Day, but then developed through time as a U.S. federal holiday where we recognize, remember men and women who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. And as Ken so beautifully prayed, I'm thankful for those who are willing to pay that price for the freedoms that we enjoy today. So I don't want us to ever forget that freedom is not free, that it comes at a tremendous price. Whether we're talking about our freedoms in our nation, but also the freedoms that we enjoy because of one who is willing to lay down his life for us, that we might be free from sin. And that's Jesus himself. However, I do want to focus our attention on a different type of spirit, a spiritual heroes. I want to recall to your attention Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that great cloud of witnesses, contextually, refers to that great faith hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read about Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all those great heroes of faith. And they form this great cloud of witnesses. And I picture grandstand of these people filling the stands. And we're the participants running around the track, if you will, running the Christian race. And they're there by the lives that they've lived to encourage us, even to cheer us on as we run the Christian race, which is more like a marathon than it is a sprint. And that's a beautiful thought to us, I understand. And especially if we study and really understand the people, those heroes of faith that we read about in Hebrews 11, and really study them and the lives that they lived, the struggles that they had. But sometimes I think it's helpful for us to see some faces in the crowds. Athletes tend to perform better, I think, when they have someone that they know closely for them, cheering for them in the stands. So this morning, I want to highlight some faces in this crowd of witnesses. These faces aren't found. We don't read about them in Hebrews chapter 11. But they are faces that many of us have known and loved for many years. If you're visiting with us, these names won't mean as much to you as they do to many of us, because they're names of some spiritual heroes that we've had in this church family. And I'm only going to go back a few years. We've been here 17 years, and we've gotten to know and love some folks that have had a profound impact on our lives. And I know that that will be echoed by many in this assembly today. But I want to fix in your mind some faces, some names, so that when you picture this great crowd of witnesses, that you'll think about these people as well. People that you've known and loved that have had a definite impact in your life as they have had in mine. I wish I had several hours to tell you about folks in the last few years, but here's a sample of those. Think about Charlie Mae Ludlam. Many of us didn't get to know her that well. She was a shut-in for many, many years. This is Peggy Holt's mother. But some of you know about her place on West Tally Court small house, big lawn. And it's in that house and on that lawn that many memories were made from Charlie Mae and her family. And I shared this at Charlie Mae's funeral, but Billy Holt, Eddie and Peggy's son, wrote a poem about Charlie Mae. And I want you to picture this, the small house in West Tally Court, and some of you Meals on Wheels recipients know about this house and the lawn. But Billy wrote these words about this sweet soul. Morning dew parades and gleams on thick blades of St. Augustine. A smirk, a grin makes soul suffice, slightly sweetened tea on ice. Smells cascade, old gas stove, the time taken in love, it grows. Sweet red lips laugh as I swing boughs of old live oak, it sings. Wagon rides, orchards green, stash of sweets, turnbell rings, catalog of little things, stacks of people magazines. Office work, ledger, yellow, graphite records, broken cello, how to prune a fig tree lessons, green Impala driving sessions. Moments with us tied in glee, talks when I could not agree. Peace to you as you move beyond lessons learned on love's great lawn. Many of those things don't resonate with us because we may not know the background. Turnbell rings refers to that ring, that thing that you turn on the front door of her home that was a doorbell of sorts. Turnbell rings, graphite records, and broken cello. And these may not resonate with us, but they're memories of a grandson who was looking fondly back about the relationship that he sustained with his grandmother. Charlie Mae Ludlam, for many of us, was a shut-in for so many years. But recognize that Charlie Mae Ludlam was a life that was lived 94 years and made an impact upon her family, upon those who knew her. Trenton Toland, many of us have known and loved through the years. When I think of Trenton Toland, I think of Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And to me, that beautifully describes his work ethic, because he worked, and he worked a long time. He was working at age 89 when he suffered a stroke and had to be out for 6 months, but he went back to work and worked till he was 92 years old. Some folks are thinking or having been enjoying retirement for a long time by that point, but he kept working, the oldest member of his profession. We think about his ability, his longevity, his productivity, and how he helped design many of the buildings that we see in our city. But it's more the mark that he left on the lives of those that he knew and loved that speaks loudly to me. His influence on the hearts of men and women will last much longer. Not only his work ethic, but his compassion, his generosity, his love for people. I was told that he hated weekends when he lived alone because he wasn't around many people. Here's a man that was a pillar in the church at Government Street Church. It was one of those that kept that work going and was here every time he possibly could be, and many times when he didn't feel like it. But longevity, a life lived long, seeking to be faithful to the Lord. See his face in that crowd of witnesses. Elbert Alsop is another one of those faces in the crowd. David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel, and I still like to think of Brother Elbert as the sweet singer of Mobile County. Ephesians 5:19 will have his image stamped in my mind as I read it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how Elbert taught us so many songs that have have become near and dear to us because they were near and dear to Him. And he taught us by the way that He led singing to sing from the heart. To put your heart into your singing and as you praise God, but as you also you teach and admonish one another. And there's so many other things about His life that have impacted our lives. This sweet singer of Mobile County. But see His face in the crowd. Allow His life to continue to cause you to sing a little louder. To put a little more feeling into the words of the songs that we sing. There's Virgin May Ravier. And I was told that may be the correct pronunciation, so I've stuck with it. Because some of you will remember Revere Brothers Florists, or Ravier Brothers Florists. Miss Virgie May and her husband operated that florist years ago. In the time that I knew her, she was a widow. But an excellent cook, she still enjoyed arranging flowers, making quilts, visiting her home place in Coffeyville. Coffeyville, Alabama is on the map, on my map, because of Virgie May Ravier. She particularly enjoyed her 100th birthday. Not many of us get to see that. She did. But the thing that I remember most about Miss Virgie May and the thing that inspires me today is that her kindness and her sweet disposition. And when I read Colossians 3, her image is going to come to my mind. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on or clothe yourselves with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all these things, clothe yourself with love, which is the bond of perfection. And I think Miss Virgie May did this beautifully. See her face in the crowd of witnesses. And I don't share these memories with you to bring sadness in your hearts, but to inspire you, to remind you of these people that we have known and loved that are filling the grandstands around us and encouraging us by their very lives to continue on, to keep on serving, to clothe yourselves with compassion and love. There's Mildred Nelson. She was a nurse by profession, but even more a nurse by nature. A caregiver, and many of us have been the recipients of her caring heart and her hands. She was always helping others. How many of us have received a card from her or sat at her table and ate of her delicious food? Merrill Davidson said of her, she was created to serve and not to be served, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Matthew 20:28. But as I think about Mildred Nelson, and while I have often talked about what she did, it's not so much what she did, but who she was. She was a servant of God. And because that was her identity, she served. It's not what she did, it's who she was. See her face in the crowd of witnesses. There's Dorothy Waters. Like you, there are many things about Miss Dorothy that will stand out in my mind, those of us who knew her. One is that you never had to guess where she stood on an issue. Many of you who worked with her in the Meals on Wheels kitchen were involved in some discussions with her when she would stand her ground and stand it well when she was had an opinion about some subject. She was a person of conviction. She was also had a great sense of humor and would often laugh at herself. And when you can laugh at yourself, that's a tremendous quality. But her compassion, she embodied Galatians 5:13, which says, through love, serve one another. In the 14 years that I knew Miss Dorothy, she was always taking care of someone. Always taking care of someone. Her grandson wrote, she lived to serve. It is what she was made for. Her service has not drawn high acclaim from the masses, but those whom she has served know the delight and comfort of her touch, her smile. To those in pain, her laugh is anesthesia, even medicine. She has mastered the art of service, and now it is time to rest. She's at rest. But her life continues to speak to us and to challenge us to be more outward focused, to think about the needs of others, to seek those ways to serve other people. See her in the crowd of witnesses. See Richard Lincoln, a man of great resolve, of keen insight, of great Christian character, and yes, of joyful humor. I still have in my records an email that he sent to those of us who were at prayer, who were come together for prayer breakfast on Monday morning. One morning he sent this: I set the clock to wake at 5, assuming I would be alive. Drifted into a sleep sublime, slept past the waking time. Must have thought of heaven. Roused myself at 7, and then he explained, did not turn on the alarm, hopefully next time. He was a poet. He knew it. Great sense of humor. But many of us, from children on up, remember him for standing before us and saying, right is right, and wrong is wrong, and nobody has the right to do wrong. He is in that great cloud of witnesses, inspiring us by his example to keep the faith. There's Joanne Moore. It is written concerning the worthy woman. She is clothed with strength and dignity. And I remember saying at her funeral that my grandmother, Louise Dixon, thought that Proverbs 31 was overused at funerals. Of course, I used it at my grandmother's funeral, too. But it was so fitting for Miss Joanne, even this statement. She is clothed with strength and dignity. But she wore these magnificent qualities in all humility. Because when I think about Joanne Moore and what her life says to me, I think about this passage. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There was no pretension about her. Her love was genuine. It was real. Her commitment was profound. I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional. But she's one of those witnesses that continues to speak to us. There's Robert Perry. Robert Perry. Many of you children may not have known Robert, but you have enjoyed immensely one of the things that he wanted to see done. And that's a playground right out there. If you look closely, there's a plaque that says, in memory of Robert Perry. He passed from this life at only 58 years old. Many of you may not know that on May the 2nd, 1978, at the age of 27, he was involved in a helicopter crash. He was in the Army. Broke his neck, paralyzed him from the neck or the waist down. Had some limited movement of his arms. But what an impact. It has been written of Jesus, they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And that was the mindset of Robert Perry. Let the little children come to me. Let them sit on my lap and let them ride on the back of my wheelchair, to the horror of parents watching these little children zooming down the hall on his wheelchair. But he loved it, and they did too. He would say, "Let the little children come to me," and sing songs of praise to God. And I remember how he had that microphone set up and would often record these children singing songs of praise. He would say, "Let the little children come to me," and take them to nursing homes where they would distribute flowers to the residents, or go to USA Children's and Women's Hospital to distribute coloring books or socks. Take them to zoos, museums, parks, wherever else he thought they might experience joy and happiness. And he was paralyzed. But served as a Bible school teacher, first grade, for 6 years. He's one of those witnesses that says, "What's your excuse?" By the way, he took thousands of pictures along the way. There's Wallace Wayne Red Burleson. I always knew him by Red, not Wallace Wayne. Who's that? When he passed away, I don't know if it was Brother Ray or Charles Riles that was called by an employee at Summerby. Because Red had made known to the employees at Summerby that he had certain duties every Sunday morning here at the Creekwood Church building. Those duties were that he would arrive early, 7 o'clock, 7:30, for 9 o'clock worship now. And he would unlock the door and go into the office complex and set off the alarm. That was customary. Make a pot of coffee, and finally there'd be others that would come in and join him. But those were his duties. I'll never forget the time when we had a time change and Brother Red forgot to change his clock. The time came for worship and nobody else was here. He left a note on the door: "When y'all decide to have worship, you call and let me know." That's Brother Red, fiery, but a great man of generosity. The Apostle Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, "As you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." And contextually, that grace is the grace of giving. Brother Red was so generous. He helped pay off this building. He left a significant amount to the work in Rayali, India. Funds that were used to build the Red Burleson Memorial Complex. And you may not see these pictures very well, but there's a plaque on the bottom level of that structure, three stories high, with this plaque and a picture of Brother Red above it. And there are children pictured on a recent paint job. It's a beautiful structure. What a tribute to this man who was so generous that he wanted to do things for others, for these orphans across the world. There's Claude Falkenberry. I'm going back to 2005 when he passed away. but he's still vivid in my mind. He was a man of courage, faced many difficult situations throughout his life with courage. He served in World War II. He was one of those of the greatest generation. He faced the challenges of having a brain tumor, prostate cancer, battled Parkinson's disease, but with tremendous courage. But it's his compassion that also has made his mark on my life. He worked with community service. He served as an elder here, and one of his functions was over this area of community service, which included Meals on Wheels and benevolence. And the way we did the benevolence work back then was when someone would call, Peggy or I would take down information and then call Brother Claude, explain to him the situation, and he would say, this is what we can do. And he would listen to those situations, ask a few pertinent questions, and then make a decision. But if he erred, it was always on the side of mercy. Were there those who took advantage of the situation? I'm sure there were. But he always erred on the side of mercy. And if we ever mentioned that there were small children involved, no question, whatever they needed. The scriptures frequently describe Jesus as being moved with compassion. Brother Claude was moved with compassion for others. So I'll think of him when I read 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. There's Nellie Butts. Bible school teacher for more than 40 years. My memory is Sunday morning, Wednesday night. She's back there with that four-year-old class. Taught class on the Wednesday night before she entered the hospital on Thursday for the last time. But she was there teaching those children, taught all of mine. So when I think of Miss Nellie, I think of these words. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And I'll think of her when I read this poem. 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of car I drove or house I lived in, how much money I had in the bank or what should be clothes, look what my clothes look like. But the world may be a little better because I was important in the life of a child. And she was. See her face in the crowd. Allow her life, her love for children and teaching them about God to inspire you to go and do likewise. As I was working through this and reflecting, I thought about this passage in Hebrews 11, 23. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Ben Giddens, Earl Nelson, Joanne Smith, Joe and Helen Duncan, Herman and Vivian Gordon, Homer Henderson, Willard and Iris Hanks, on and on and on. Don't just see a crowd. See faces that you've known, that you've loved, that have impacted you. And three closing thoughts. Number one, thank God. Thank God for your godly heritage. Thank God that God allowed you to be in the presence and live among and love these people. Number two, ask yourself, what kind of legacy am I leaving? Am I going to inspire others to run the race more faithfully? And number three, and here's the greatest challenge, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill their shoes. And we can't fill them, but we can do our best to serve like they did, to love like they did. See those faces. If you need to become a child of God because of godly influences like these in your life, we hope and pray you'll do so even today. If there are some corrections we need to make in light of these spiritual heroes, let's make those too. If you need to respond, please come right now as we stand and sing.